the $6 million man doing Christmas stories. Now, the amazing thing about this record is it is not really the $6 million man, Lee Majors. It is somebody impersonating the $6 million man. So you will hear the $6 million man playing and impersonating Lee Majors doing some Christmas adventures.
Christmas is a time of universal joy. All men, no matter what field of endeavor they pursue, feel the spirit of the Yule season. That is, all men except Fritz Koenig.
I'm sorry, Fritz, but I can no longer use you. We become automated.
But Mr. Danza, I'm a master craftsman. You have said that I am the best toy maker in the world. Why, no one can turn out the quality of work that I do.
That's true, Fritz, but you take too long. I need quantity, not quality. I have inventories to fill, profit margins to maintain. This is a business, Fritz.
But my new invention, the duplicator, you said it would help things along.
I'm sorry, Fritz, but our tests were conclusive. The duplicator cannot produce a high-quality duplicate toy.
You said you were not interested in quality.
Well, what I meant was...
Give me my machine.
It's worthless, I tell you.
Then give it back.
No.
Return my invention, I'll kill you.
Get away from me, old man. Jerry, get in here. I have something for you to get rid of.
At the headquarters of the Office of Scientific Intelligence, Chief Oscar Goldman is in a meeting with Colonel Steve Austin.
Steve, I've got a strange one here. I'm not sure what to make of it.
Tell me about it, Oscar.
The local police found a badly beaten elderly man in an alleyway early this morning. He was barely alive when they brought him into the hospital.
How is he now?
It looks like he's going to make it.
Since when are we interested in characters found sleeping in the street?
This particular character was Dr. Fritz Koenig.
I don't recognize the name.
Not too many people know of him. He immigrated to the United States before the Second World War. He was a specialist in molecular structure.
What was he doing in the alley?
We don't know, Steve.
Is he out of work? Did he suffer from exposure? It gets rather cold this time of the year.
All the indicators point to foul play, Steve. My sources inform me that Koenig has been working as a toy designer for the Dancer Manufacturing Company for the past 10 years.
A toy designer?
Yes. Officially, he had dropped out of sight, but we felt he was important enough to keep tabs on.
What do you want me to do, Oscar?
I've got a feeling that Dr. Koenig is back doing his old work in molecular structure, and someone is trying to steal it from him. From now on, he's going to be covered 24 hours.
By me?
Not just yet. First...
I know, the first stop is a Dancer Manufacturing Company.
Be careful, Steve.
Later that evening at the Dancer Manufacturing Company, Colonel Steve Austin quietly slips in through an open vent.
My childhood dream come true. Free reign of a toy factory. Someone's coming. I'd better find a place to hide. There, behind those boxes.
I can assure you, Mr. Vasilich, this is a genuine article.
We are prepared to pay whatever amount is necessary to take possession of the machine, if and only if it performs to specifications.
That is the purpose of this test, to prove the capabilities of the molecular duplicator.
The power of such a unit is very great indeed. We could revolutionize the tactics of war.
Here we are, sir. Jerry, prepare the machine for use. You'll notice that a portable power source has been adapted to the duplicator so it can operate on any terrain.
Very impressive.
Now, watch over there. That toy army tank. Set the duplicator on 5 and... See? In a matter of seconds, a perfect duplicate of the original toy tank.
Amazing. But will it work with full-sized weapons?
Why, I don't know.
But I must know. I have been trusted with a great sum of money. I must not be swindled. I need to see an actual tank reproduced.
Then it will be arranged immediately.
What is that?
Attack dogs. I came from here to frighten away intruders. I think we have one on the premises right now. Jerry, release the dogs.
That's my cue to exit. I hope I can outrun those dogs. Gotta find a way out of here.
There he is. Stop him.
There's the fence. I have to jump the fence. 1, 2, here goes. Made it. Now to report.
Early the following morning, Steve Austin meets Oscar at the City General Hospital.
How is Dr. Koenig?
Getting stronger, Steve. How did you make out last night?
I'll tell you when we see Koenig. I think there are a few things he can explain. I tell you this much, Oscar. He hasn't been idle in the last couple of years.
Something big?
Tops, Oscar. And a man by the name of Vasilich seems very interested in paying whatever it takes to own it.
Alexei Vasilich?
I've never seen him before.
Tall, heavy set, wears flashy clothing?
That's him. Who is he?
He's a weapons broker, the most powerful underground espionage agent in the Western Hemisphere. I've been trying to get my hands on him for years.
You may get your chance.
I hope so. Let's see what Dr. Koenig has to say. Dr. Koenig, this is Colonel Austin. There's something he would like to discuss with you.
It has to do with a molecular duplicator.
How did you know about that?
I saw it work last night. A man named Dancer.
That thief! Charlatan! He knew my invention worked all along. He was trying to cheat me.
What is this all about?
I retired from physics 10 years ago. I could no longer get myself involved in theories and equations. So I used a talent I had developed as a child, designing models and toys. I went to work for Mr. Dancer. He said I was good, but I couldn't turn out the quantity he needed to show a profit. So I invented the duplicator to reproduce my toys in quantity. I thought with the Christmas season upon us, he would be happy with the idea. But no, that scoundrel, he robbed me.
And now he plans to sell it to the highest bidder.
We have to stop him. What's his next move?
Vasilich didn't want to buy the machine on the basis of the demonstration with a miniature tank last night. Somehow Dancer is going to have to get his hands on the real thing and prove that the duplicator can work on a major scale.
That fool! That is impossible! It can only work with toys! I designed it for small objects!
Can you be sure that it will not work on a full-sized armored tank?
Well, no. I can't guarantee anything.
Steve, I think we'd better get moving. Where would Dancer get a tank?
I've been thinking about that, Oscar. The logical thing for him to do is to bring Vasilich to the tank.
But he can't get into a military base.
No, but the National Guard Armory has a tank platoon parked out back. I don't even think they have a sentry on duty.
Let's get over there. I'll call for reinforcements.
I don't think that's a good idea, Oscar. We can't afford to scare them off. We need both the duplicator and Vasilich.
What do you suggest?
Let me go in alone. Wait for my signal.
I'll wait, but only until I think you may need me. Deal?
Okay.
That evening at the National Guard Armory...
I'm sorry to inconvenience you this way, Mr. Vasilich, but it was more practical to bring you here.
I don't mind. It gives me a chance to look over your new armored weapons.
Well, then, I believe we are ready for the demonstration. Do you have the money?
$4 million. Will it be sufficient?
I don't know. This is a very expensive machine. Other powers might pay more fantastic sums.
But at the present, I am the only one with the cash, Mr. Dancer. So let us stop playing games and proceed.
Yes, of course. Jerry, set up the molecular duplicator. Now we will see what this machine is truly capable of.
It worked! You have produced another tank!
You see, I told you'd be worth the money. Now, if you're satisfied, I'll take the machine and the money.
Who's there?
Jerry! Get that guy!
Dancer, you will die for setting up this trap.
No, I swear, I didn't know! It's all over, Vasilich. We got a nice, cozy cell waiting for you.
Steve, what happened?
Vasilich shot Dancer and his accomplice, Jerry. He thought it was a trap.
What was that loud explosion?
That was Dancer's dream blowing up in his face.
You mean...
Dr. Koenig was right, Oscar. The machine doesn't work on large objects. The tank was reproduced, but the molecules couldn't stay together. It exploded into dust.
That pile of rubble is all that is left of a tank?
Well, Dr. Koenig, at least, will have his machine back.
I was hoping we were onto something that really worked.
Better luck next Christmas, Oscar. Maybe you should buy one of Koenig's toys.
Hey, it's John Tesh wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas. Hey, it's John Tesh wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas. Hey, it's John Tesh wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas.
With only 7 shopping days left until Christmas, Colonel Steve Austin suddenly remembers he has not bought any gifts for his friends and relatives. He decides to go to Geffner's, the large department store downtown.
Can I help you, sir?
Yes, I'm looking for something in perfumes.
Any particular fragrance?
I thought you might be able to suggest something.
Well, there certainly is a large variety to choose from.
I can see that. What's all that commotion about?
Well, that's where the store Santa Claus holds court. Probably some kid didn't get what he wanted and is registering a complaint.
Sounds more serious to me.
Hey, stop that, man. He stole my Christmas present. Hey, you, stop!
Watch it, mister. This is a crowded store. Someone could get hurt.
Sorry, pal. I'm in a hurry.
I understand. Christmas rush.
Yeah, well, I gotta run.
Hey, mister, give me my Christmas present.
Go away.
Give it to me.
Come on, kid. Go away.
What seems to be the problem?
He stole my Christmas present. The one that Santa Claus gave me.
Look, pal, she's my daughter. I wanted to surprise her. Now she's gonna ruin the whole thing.
He's not my father. Give me my present.
I think you better give it to her.
Get out of my way.
Put that gun away. Someone could get hurt.
Not if you leave me alone. Now stand aside. I'm walking out of here.
Oh, you're not.
Later, at the Office of Scientific Intelligence, Colonel Steve Austin is in a security conference with his boss, Oscar Goldman.
Good thing you called me in on this, Steve.
When I grabbed that guy, he dropped the package and it broke open. I could see the thing inside was no ordinary Christmas present. That's why I picked it up and got it to you.
Steve, you seem to have a talent for finding trouble. But in this case, you may have stumbled on a major espionage ring.
An espionage ring?
Steve, the man you fought with in the department store is Harrison Fredericks. For a long while, he's been known to be a free agent in the espionage market, selling his services to the highest bidder. But what is even more interesting to us is what he was carrying in that package.
What was it?
It was an electronic fuel cell for our latest attack missile, the SYR-9.
The SYR-9? I thought that was out in California. No one is supposed to know about it.
Someone does, Steve. And I have an idea how we can break this ring.
I'm all ears.
I'm going to need you for this. I don't mean to put you in an awkward position, but I don't have any other way to go about it.
Break it to me gently, Oscar.
Steve, after Fredericks was arrested, we suspected that the man playing Santa Claus at the department store was being used as a go-between for moving the stolen parts.
Did you bring him in?
About 20 minutes ago. He's clean, Steve. He doesn't know a thing. He probably wasn't involved at all. Just gave out the gifts to kids in line.
Which means a dead end.
Not necessarily. If he were to take a few days off and be replaced by another Santa who could keep a trained eye on things, we may get lucky.
Who did you have in mind?
Why, you, of course.
Mr. Marsh?
Yes, who are you?
I'm Steve Austin, the new Santa Claus for the toy department.
I can't see why they hired you. No belly, no beard. You need a total makeup job. I don't know whether or not you'll be convincing.
The man in the office upstairs said to report to you.
Yes, I see.
Where do I change?
In the locker room at the back. Yours is number 13. You'll find a red suit and beard in the locker.
Thanks.
This is Maris. We may have some trouble. No, a new Santa Claus. The other guy got sick or something. No, I just think that it's strange that this new guy shows up after that guy, Fredericks, gets arrested. I don't know. He may be an undercover agent. He doesn't look like a professional Santa Claus. Yeah, well, if there are any problems, what should I do? Are you sure? I've never done that before. Yes, sir. Goodbye.
I think I need some more padding around the middle.
Well, let's fix that beard first. Here we go. Not bad. Not bad at all. Now, just go out there and hand out the gifts. Make sure you take them from the pile on the left.
On the left?
Yeah. And don't get it confused, or you may be out of a job.
Hey, don't I know you?
Of course, everyone knows me. I'm Santa Claus.
There's no such person as Santa Claus.
Then who am I?
I think you're the man who was here the other day. The one who tried to get my present back for me.
I'm Santa Claus.
I told you there's no such person.
Then what are you doing on my lap?
I want a present.
But you got one the other day.
No, I didn't. The police took it. I want another one.
Okay, here you go.
No, I want it from that pile.
Those are for later. I can't give you those now.
Santa, that's quite all right. Give the little girl a gift from the pile she wants.
I thought you said...
Just do as I say.
Hello?
Oscar, it's your favorite Santa Claus.
Steve, how are things going?
I think I'm onto something, Oscar. Do you remember that little girl who accused Fredericks of stealing her present yesterday?
Yes, her name was Sandy.
That's right. She came by again today for another gift. The boss of the department, Maris, insisted that I give her a box from a different pile of gifts.
What do you make of it, Steve? Could the child be involved?
I'd hate to think so, but at this point, I think we have to consider every possibility.
Get back to me as soon as you need the troops.
I will. Goodbye, Oscar.
Don't turn around, Mr. Austin. If you make one move, it'll be your last.
I don't understand.
I have a revolver pointed at your back, and I'm an expert shot.
Listen, Mr. Maris, I like a joke as much as the next man.
This is no joke, Mr. Austin. I suspected from the very beginning you might be an undercover agent. Now, my suspicions are confirmed. I heard every word of your telephone call.
Then you are the man behind the espionage ring.
No questions, Mr. Austin. Therefore, no answers.
Which means you don't know who the head of the outfit is. I didn't think you had the brain power for the job.
Enough of this. I don't have to listen to anymore.
I'll bet you get from every side. But tell me, where does the girl Sandy fit into this?
She knows nothing. She just serves as a messenger.
That's a great job for a kid of her age.
Quiet! You've spoken your last word. I have no alternative. I must kill you.
Don't be a fool, Maris. Federal agents are surrounding the building right now.
By then, it'll be too late. Goodbye, Mr. Austin.
Steve, are you all right?
Just fine, Oscar. Our man here isn't the top of the line.
Don't worry about that. I had a hunch you might need help, and I had one of our men on the scene. He followed the little girl out of the store, and she led us right to Mr. Big. And we grabbed him, just as she handed him another one of the missing fuel cells, wrapped up in a Christmas package.
And I guess that ties it all up.
Looks that way.
Wait a minute. There's one more thing.
What's that, Steve?
I owe a little girl a Christmas present.
Thank you. CITR-FM 101.9.
Vancouver.
CITR-FM 101.9.
Vancouver.
CITR FM 101.9.
Vancouver.
I love you.